Today, our election 2008 debates continue of a delayed start, the result of a flat tire. Today, the candidates running for state representative for the 2nd Barnstable District, which includes precincts 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, and 13 in the town of Barnstable, and precincts 3, 5, and 6 in Yarmouth. Our format, up to 90 seconds for opening and closing remarks, and up to 2 minutes for questions. Rebuttals will be included in the 2-minute answer time. We're going to begin in alphabetical order, and we'll alternate from there. And if you have a question for the candidates, we ask that you pose your question to both candidates. You can call in on our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can send your question via email to thepoint@wgbh.org. The candidates are Democrat Demetrius Atsalas, who is the incumbent, and independent challenger Carl Yingling. Opening statements begin with Demetrius Atsalas.
Good morning, Mindy. Thank you for having Carl and I here today. Carl, good morning. And thanks for delaying it the extra half hour. Unforeseen events. Mindy, this year's election is large, just not on the local front, but also a national front. Just want to tell people to get out to vote. Vote for your candidate, no matter who they are, and exercise that right, because we do have that right here in America. For nearly 10 years, it's been my privilege to serve you as your state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District. I've always taken the effort needed to look into any new idea, making certain that it would have a chance of being supported and funded. Working in this consistent manner, I've been able to deliver to our district in support of and funding for our schools, environmental education, science and technology, transportation, economic development, healthcare, and many other projects. As a legislative body, we need to roll our sleeves up and create legislation that will protect the Cape's single-source aquifer from contaminants. We must also legislate for a fair home insurance system that does not put an unfair financial burden on all of our homeowners based on a bogus modeling by the insurance industry. The Cape's delegation is committed to these issues as one unified body. I have spent the last 10 years working to make a difference towards a constructive change for our collective futures. I have colleagues both in our Cape delegation and at the State House that share many of our concerns. I have made allies as part of a working political party with leadership, which has proven fruitful to the district and will continue to do so. That is why today I'm asking for your vote on November 4th to keep me in office as your state representative.
Thank you. Thank you. Carl Yingling.
I would like to thank all the parties that have made this debate possible, especially Mindy Todd and everyone here at WCAI Radio here in Woods Hole. And thank you, Demetrius Atsalas. I also want to thank all my friends and family who are listening to this broadcast. First of all, I want to talk about the economy. The last time the economy was in this bad of shape was during the second term of the Reagan administration. I remember it well because I was going to school in Denver, Colorado at the time and went to fill out an application for a job, and there were 10 people filling out an application for that one job. Needless to say, I didn't get that job, but found another working with a friend, which helped subsidize my income and was thus able to finish my schooling there successfully. That slowed down, and the economy lasted from 1986 to 1992, about 6 or 7 years. Then things were going great during the Clinton administration. This downturn we have now started on 9/11/2001, and even though it has fluctuated up and down a little recently, it has gotten much worse. Unfortunately, sometimes these things just have to happen, and there really isn't much anyone can do about it. In other words, if you have a job, don't give it up, because as I've heard, the unemployment rate is about 8.5% in Rhode Island, and Rhode Island is right on our doorstep. So how can we all make it during the upcoming cold winter months? Well, I suggest that anyone who is going to need fuel assistance to contact fuel assistance and be early, because there will likely be a long waiting list. So don't forget to exercise your right on November 4th, and please vote for me, Carl Yingling, independent for state representative for 2nd Barnstable District, and God bless you all during the Thanksgiving and upcoming holidays.
Right. Thank you. Our first question, we're going to start with Carl Yingling. Governor Patrick last week announced $1 billion in emergency budget cuts. His cuts are not across the board. There are several proposals that need legislative approval, including taking another $200 million from state reserves. Do you support the governor's proposed cuts, and what areas would you cut or protect from cuts?
Well, I'm very much for the cuts that he made so far. He said he was going to cut 1,000 workers from the payroll, and that's very unfortunate because those are people that just got hired by him. But I think that supposedly the population of Massachusetts is decreasing. So if the population is decreasing, you don't need to add on more new government people anyway. So. And as far as the $1 billion in cuts, I think we all have to pull in our apron strings all around the board. We've been living too high off the hog, And it's just an unfortunate thing. But I, as I said in my opening speech, you know, or I didn't mention, I think things are going to get better, but it might take a little bit longer than we hope, because sometimes these economic downturns just, you know, last a long time, and it's just something that happens.
Do you want to add in any specific cuts you would add or things you would like to protect?
Well, I'd like to protect the schools. They definitely are very important. Education, almost everyone who has a higher education could get a better job. And I also think that what will get the economy going again is after the presidential elections, and we do work to improve our infrastructure, not only here on Cape Cod, but across the whole country. We have to put people back to work. That's one of the reasons why the economy is in the shape it's in. Too many people are out of work, and they need to get back and work in the building industries and, you know, all those industries. I wouldn't cut education for sure.
All right. Thank you. Demetrius Atsalas.
Yeah, I've been through this before back in 2002. We're talking about $1.4 billion in cuts. And I felt them firsthand. Our community felt them firsthand. The Cape did and the state did by losing funding. Oral health for kids in elementary schools here in Barnstable and Yarmouth. Saw their money's cut from, and it's a statewide program. It's up in Lynn and the Boston area. They saw a $750,000 earmark for kids who don't have dental care cut in half completely. And actually, right now, we're working with DPH because DPH is trying to pull the remainder money out and put it where they want to. This is an earmark that we put towards an area that's needed. Kids need good oral health, and otherwise, we find that they have problems in their schools. So that's one matter that hit me at home. And we're working to make sure the funding that is remaining stays there. But you have to protect Chapter 70, that's school education. You have to protect local aid. That money's back to our towns will help keep our property taxes at a reasonable rate instead of increasing them. That's very important. Also, services for our senior citizens. We have to provide for those who need our services. Those who are the most vulnerable should have state aid. I'm willing to bite the bullet, and I did. We lost money for the Maritime Museum. We lost money for the Cultural Center. We lost money for various other projects that we funded the last 5 years. And we're willing to bite that bullet to share the burden. But in no way can we go after local aid at this point or Chapter 70. We made a commitment to education. We made a commitment to our seniors. We made a commitment to our taxpayers that we're going to help them out, and we have to continue to do that. And we will tap into their rainy day fund at the tune of at least $200 million, maybe as high as $400 million. But these are the things you have to do. It is raining out, and that fund is there to be used, not to sit there and grow.
All right, thank you. Next question, we start with Demetrius Atsalas. Do you support the ballot initiative to repeal the state income tax, and why or why not?
No, absolutely not. Question one is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It sounds good that you're going to give back $2,500 to $3,500 to the average taxpayer. The reality is we'll lose between $11 and $13 billion out of our state budget of $28 billion. That would decimate programs. The programs Kyle and I just talked about the seniors, about Chapter 70, about local aid. So no, I will not be supporting that. And my colleagues from across the aisle, the Republicans in the House, the leadership, they've come out also strongly against ballot question number one.
Thank you. Carl Yingling, do you support ballot initiative number one?
And what is that initiative?
That would repeal the state income tax.
No, I think they should keep it the way it is, because in the society we live in, unfortunately, we do have to pay taxes. If we all lived out in the woods and had, you know, 1,000-acre farms, naturally we wouldn't have to. But because there is so many things that we rely on in towns, especially on Cape Cod, the Department of Public Works, the school system, you know, all these different programs that are going on, they need to be paid for. And so working people have to bear the brunt of it and pay taxes. And also non-working people that are independently wealthy. And so, no, I'm against the, you know, the repeal of the income tax.
Thank you.
I think it's good the way it is right now.
Remind our listeners, we're talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District. They are Demetrius Atsalas and Carl Yingling. If you have a question, we ask that you pose the question to both candidates. You can call in on our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can send your question by email to thepoint@wgbh.org. Next question, Carl Yingling. Do you support expanding the rooms tax that includes hotel and motel rooms to the rentals of houses and condominiums? These would be vacation rentals of houses and condominiums.
I wasn't really too familiar with that. Is that some kind of a legislation that they're thinking of bringing up?
Yeah, there's been some talk of expanding. Right now, we have the rooms tax that is on the hotel and motel rooms, and some people feel that that should also be charged to people who come and rent houses or condominiums for the vacation. So the question is, would you support expanding?
No, I'm against that because I think that people that have motels, they're renting lots of rooms, and so they can afford to pay a little bit of tax on those rooms. Same with people that own bed and breakfasts and hotels. And most times when people have private homes, they're renting that out or part of their house out to help pay their mortgage. And it's, you know, some of the mortgages, I'm very lucky. I have a very low mortgage. I got it in 1997. I only pay $532 a month. But some of these mortgages are astronomical, and I don't know how people make ends meet.
This would be charged to the people who are renting, not the owners. It would be the people coming in, the vacationers.
No, I'm against that. I think they pay enough. I think we need more visitors, and let's charge them less because that's how we make our money from tourists. And I can't overemphasize that because a lot of people are in denial about that. But our main source of income here on Cape Cod is from all of our visitors that love our beaches, and let's, you know, give it to them cheaper if we can.
Thank you. Demetrius Atzlis.
After talking with many owners of hotels and motels, and many of these people, if not all of them, are our neighbors, they pay taxes, they're local residents. I would actually support this legislation because I think the point being missed here, we're not talking about somebody having a rooming house and bringing somebody in for an overnight. We actually see people who move out of the house from May through September, and they get, on an average on a week, anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 to $8,000, $10,000 a week from people coming down here. Two or three families will go into a house. And they're doing it, A, because, you know, for a two-week period, at $250 a night, it makes it impossible for a family to stay at a hotel because it just costs too much money. So instead, they're going to a house where it has the amenities for cooking and so on. You have a yard. But what they're doing, they're paying that rate, the rental to the homeowner, but they're not paying that 9.5% room tax that they would pay in a hotel. And what happens, it is hurting our local hotel owners and our local motel owners. I hear it all. I've been hearing it for 10 years. And it's a 9.5% that you're charging to the consumer who's coming to stay at your property while you're not there. And and people don't look at it. I took a survey of people, and when they get their bill, very rarely do they ever look at that tax they're paying. It's 9.5%. Heck, in Boston, you're paying almost double that because of the city tax tacked on top of it. Good on New York City, you're paying a state tax, city tax. And people just, when they're paying that amount of money, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 for a week or a two-week period, they're not looking at that 9.5%. And it should go back into the state coffers because it is a room occupancy tax, and these people are renting rooms.
All right, thank you. Next question, Demetrius Atzlis. What is your economic development plan, and do you have any specific ideas on not only retaining some of our young families but attracting more young families to the Cape?
Yeah, actually, I'm working with an exciting initiative with the town of Yarmouth. The Simpkins School has been closed for a couple of years, and that's on the historic Main Street area. And it, the other side of it is Route 28, which has great services. There's Stop and Shop. There's the State Police Department. And it's close to the highway, to the exits. So we're working to at least we're floating the idea, putting proposals out there that might bring a light, new, clean industry into that 45, 50,000 square foot building. Startup companies. Somebody right now who might be in the garage is looking to rent space at a reasonable rate. Can hopefully do it with the town of Yarmouth. That's just one idea. The Commonwealth put together a stimulus package a couple of years ago, $100 million. But we most recently put together $1 billion life science initiative to bring that industry here in Massachusetts. We have the greatest universities and colleges in the country, and if not the world. We have the greatest healthcare providers with our hospitals in the Boston area. So the Commonwealth has put forth a lot of money to try to bring good industry here, new industry here, and that will allow us to retain families. Because right now the biggest problem with families staying here is not the wages, it's they cannot afford to pay the high rates of rents or mortgages for owning a home. And with a good wage and the way the economy is today, I'm all for the federal government going out there and creating these low rates, picking up some of these mortgages that are not in default but are high people are paying 7.5%, 8%. Let them get into a 6% rate. Heck, if they can pay at 8%, they should be able to pay at 6%. And that way people will have more money to spend on their families, put aside for savings for education or for the later years. So to get back to where the question was, we've put forth money, economic stimulus package. We've put forth money for emerging technologies, life science technology. And we'll continue to work for people to find jobs. And once the economy turns around, they'll be back on the ground running.
Thank you. Carl Yingling, your economic plan.
Well, I agree with a lot of what Mr. Atsalas has to say. There aren't a lot of good-paying jobs here on Cape Cod, and that's one of the problems. But I also think, from talking to young couples with small children, they get very upset when they hear about schools closing and the threat of schools closing. And I think it makes them think that, well, the government doesn't really care about our kids, because that nice little school that we had down the road closed down, and now we have to bus all of our kids a little further. And so I think that we shouldn't even, you know, bring up things like school closings, because this is very frightening to people with families. And a lot of people, with young people with families, you know, they have children, and they want to stay in the same school. That's why they live on Cape Cod, because Cape Cod is a place that is quaint. And I mean, that song by, you know, what's her name, Paige? I haven't heard that song lately. It's fun to fall in love with all Cape Cod, because that's why people live here. They don't want Hyannis to become a suburb of Boston. But unfortunately, a lot of, you know, there is an element of people that wants, you know, to see Hyannis and Cape Cod become like a suburb of Boston. But I don't want. I like the fact that it's quaint. And I mentioned at my last debate that I think we should open up an institute for renewable energy, because we have all the elements here, and it could be in the Mid-Cape area what the Oceanographic Institute here is in Falmouth, because I think that's a very important issue in the coming years, the future. We have to figure out how to get off of gasoline, and we have to use renewable energy, and we have a lot of intelligent people, and it would attract more intelligent people that would work on this issue. And because there isn't a limitless amount of oil and gas, but there is a limitless amount of water and sun. And so I'm for that.
All right. Thank you. Next question, Carl Yingling, we start with you. Do you support casino gambling?
No, I'm totally against casino gambling. And the reason why is because from what I understand about casino gambling is it, sure, it does bring some money to the economy, but it also, you have to redo the whole infrastructure. Certain roads get completely destroyed from all the new people going to that area. So they have to build all new infrastructure. And then in that process, a lot of businesses that were along a different route, they lose business because they can no longer compete with the casino. So I think it puts a lot of small businesses out of business, as well as, you know, and if you look about gambling, I mean, the evils of gambling, you know, most of the people that gamble, they lose. In fact, just about all of them lose. And so I don't really think there's any winners. I think we need to find other ways to get income. I mean, I'm for the lottery, on the other hand, because that's sort of low-key gambling. And then maybe bingo, I'd be for that. And I'm also, while we're talking about that, I saw and that proposition for the dogs, which one is that?
Question three.
I say no on that. I have no problem with people betting on dogs. I mean, next thing they're going to say is, well, you know, we shouldn't have baseball because, you know, baseball players break their legs. But, you know, dogs break their legs when they run on tracks, just like horses do. And when people that go to these events, it's for recreation. And, you know, we need more recreation as our economy gets strong again so we can enjoy our spare time. So that's the way I feel about that.
Thank you. Demetrius Atsalas, do you support casino gambling?
No. I've been on record a couple different times not supporting casinos, but I do support slot machines in the racetracks. People are already going there to bet on the dogs, so we can put the one-armed bandits in the slot machines and within the racetracks themselves. But, you know, Kyle brought up as far as the casinos and the problems, just socioeconomic problems. Also, just look south of our border. There's been thousands of layoffs with Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun because of the downturn in the economy. And there are some people who saw it as a panacea for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to get us out of this financial hole. You know, we could rake in by selling contracts over, you know, well, close to $1 billion. What would happen if they're built and they just sit there and they're empty? And we don't want that. There are other ways to jumpstart the economy, and that's why we did the economic stimulus package from a couple of years ago, the life science initiative, trying to bring industry here that will be sustainable and that will be here for years to come, not just an overnight. So no, I'm against the casinos and always have been. And who wants to hurt what we have here on Cape Cod? Middleborough is only 20 minutes over the bridge. And the last thing I'd want to see is a family going to a resort casino, gambling. It's nice to take on a show, but what are they doing? They're bypassing our beautiful beaches, our golf courses, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, Woods Hole. And as a family, as a parent, I want to make sure people still come to Cape Cod to enjoy what we've been enjoying for many, many generations.
Thank you. Next question, Demetrius Atzelis. 44% of coastal residents on the Cape and Islands have been forced onto the state's FAIR plan for their home insurance. We know those rates have been going up as well as private insurance rates, wind deductibles. What is your plan to bring rates under control and bring more private insurers back to the Cape and Islands?
I was one of those people who went on to the FAIR plan, but I did it voluntary-wise. I was paying an astronomical amount of money through a private carrier, and I was actually able to save just about 50% from my premium going to the FAIR plan. I see, but what happened here is for many years on Cape Cod, premiums were very, very affordable. Some would say that they were lower than they should have been. But what happened, the industry, with that bogus modeling that they have, as far as a 100-year storm is somewhere around the corner, they then jacked their rates up over a 5 or 6 year period. They put the rates up basically overnight. So if you had a premium that was $1,300, you were now paying $28, $29, $3,000 the next year. And that's without having a claim ever. And that's been one of the problems. We filed legislation in the House and Senate, and we weren't able to pass it. It has some stumbling blocks, and I just highlighted a couple. We felt the bill that was put forth might increase premiums to people because it was putting in a catastrophic fund. And in the end, who's paying into that catastrophic fund to sit there? We are as the homeowners, as premium owners. It doesn't reinstitute protective caps that were taken out in 2004. You're basically giving the industry the say what they want to do as far as increasing premiums. Then the rate hearings, the commissioner didn't have the teeth that is needed to go in and say, no, you cannot as a private carrier, you cannot as a private carrier increase the rates the way you want to. But we were lucky with the FAIR plan this past year that there was not that 25% rate increase that people were talking about, because the commissioner said, no, you have to show us why you want to increase it by 25%. The FAIR plan is a nonprofit insurance fund. And what that should mean is they shouldn't be making a profit, but they have hundreds of millions of dollars in a fund that's just sitting there. Give it back to those rate owners. Give it back to the homeowners. Give them a break in their premium. So we're going to continue to work in the legislature to get this done.
All right. Thank you. Carl Yingling.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been, this is one of the reasons why I'm running for state representative. A couple of years ago, I got a lot of signatures for people that were against how the FAIR plan was raising their insurance rates so much, 25%, when across the rest of the state, it was they were going to raise it a lot less. And so I called up the insurance commissioner. Actually, I don't think she's the commissioner anymore. And I tried to get through to her on the phone, and her secretary wouldn't let me talk to her. And I said that that's just astronomical, because even though there are beautiful houses on Cape Cod, there's a lot of poor people that live in those big houses. And I made that very clear to them. And I wrote a letter to Senator O'Leary mentioning that there were a lot of people disappointed because I felt, and they felt, that the insurance companies were becoming too powerful. And the way I worded it, I asked him, they should be reeled in and let them know that the government is in charge and not the insurance companies, because they've, I don't have no problem with them getting insurance for cars and things like that. But to, try to charge people astronomical rates for homes when they bought these homes very cheaply, and now all of a sudden the government says, well, they're now worth, $5 million when they bought it for $50,000. That's wrong, because people shouldn't get kicked out of their homes because of taxes.
Right, thank you.
Add into this?
We got to go to closing comments. You can add it in closing
we're
comments.
All done?
Yep. All right, Carl Yingling, go ahead. Closing comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. Demetrius Atzelis has been state representative for the 2nd Barnstable District for the past 10 years. The question facing the voters now is, does he deserve to be reelected based on his past performance? The Cape Cod Times thinks so, and in fact, they endorsed him on Sunday, October 12th. And I will quote what they had to say about Mr. Atsilas. Despite our reservations, Atsilas deserves his constituencies well enough to merit re-election this fall. If Mr. Atsilas serves his constituencies so well, then why did they make reservations endorsing him? Let me go on and tell you what the rest of the article spoke of. It mentioned that Mr. Atsilas didn't pay his taxes for so long that a lien was placed on his property. I ask you, fellow Cape Codders, do you want to re-elect a guy who expects you to pay your taxes but then doesn't pay his own? I believe that how a person pays their own bills can be a reflection of that person's character, and I am sorry, Mr. Atsilas, but you seem to flunk that test. I understand Atsilas was delinquent on his taxes for several years. There are more reasons why the Cape Cod Times had reservations in endorsing Mr. Atsilas. The article mentioned how Atsilas thought he was above the law and refused to pay to park at a local beach and was fined $25. Well, I won't say any more, but basically the Cape Cod Times endorsed Atsilas by default because they implied that I was in this race for state representative way over my head because I lack experience. If you want more of what you've had the past 2 years, then by all means vote for Atsilas. But if you believe in the democratic process and you believe that change is good, then vote for me, Carl Yingling. Thank you.
Demetrius.
Yes, I want to thank the voters for the last 10 years keeping me in office. And I'm a little disappointed in my opponent for bringing up those matters when the facts be known is that the DOR has admitted that there was a mistake on their part. And I was not delinquent for years on taxes. I was on a program that was accepted by the DOR. And that lien was removed within a day and a half of being notified about it. So, Kyle, please get the facts out there straight and don't live in a glass house because people do throw stones. And, again, I'm pretty disappointed in what you have to say without knowing the facts. But I found out through this campaign my opponent really doesn't know what the facts are. And it's a desperate attempt right now to really sully my good name, my family's good name, and I won't put up with that. But I've been a good representative. Heck, my opponent even said for the last 10 years when I saw him on Ocean Street, you've done a great job. You've done a good job as a state representative. So somewhere between the last 2 weeks, he forgot what I've accomplished. And that's bringing back money for the community center in Barnstable, $3.5 million. That's bringing back almost $2 million for our Main Street revitalization. That's bringing back jobs to our district. And that's very important. So on November 4th, I want you, the voters of 2nd Barnstable District, to look through the baloney you may have just heard from my opponent, and you'll know that I'm there, I'm a leader, I have integrity, and I want to continue to be a state representative for the next couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to thank both the candidates, Demetrius Atsilas and Carl Yingling. Thank you for coming in today. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.